Hey family, this is Daniel from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. Thank you for tuning in to episode number 5. Today's guest I'm really excited to have on. His name is Matt Miller. I met Matt online through a group called The Community that I'm a part of, and it's a place specifically geared toward men. You can learn more about it at viewfromthetop.com. But what I love about it and why I joined it, it's a group specifically for guys, all about accelerating our spiritual, our personal, and professional growth. We read a book a month. We hop on a weekly webinar. There's an online forum that we're always constantly having discussions, you know, just about challenging topics and developing really cool relationships outside of my sphere of influence. And one thing that I've really been hypersensitive to recently is just who you surround yourself with. And the people you listen to, the people that influence you, they're a picture of who you are becoming. And then there's that great quote too by Jim Rohn, right, that you're the average of the five people you surround yourself with. And all this talks about the power of community, the power of being around just people that are going to challenge your thinking. And that's how I met Matt, and he's a gift. I think you're going to enjoy this show. He talks about leadership, which is important. That's the whole purpose of this podcast. But I think you'll also find this show beneficial because he has a few businesses and a podcast himself that serve schools. He has a business called School Spirit Vending, and you'll hear more about it. I'll let you, you know, hear about it in the podcast, and there's the web address we'll share as well. He has another business called School News Guru, and then he has a podcast called School Zone Podcast. And what I love about all these ventures, these three ventures, he's all about service, and he's all about making things hassle-free for schools, school leaders, students, and parents. He just wants to make your life easier. So check him out. There's no cost for the things that he's offering to the school, yet the school benefits financially. So really excited to offer this as a service to the family, the Better Leaders, Better Schools family. Hope you enjoy the show. Bye-bye for now. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/better. That's www.audibletrial.com/better. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And since we're talking about things you can get for free, have you checked out my 15 phrases for effective school leaders? If you text the word phrases, P-H-R-A-S-E-S, to 33444. That's phrases to 33444. You'll get a 10-minute or less MP3 download that has the 15 phrases that have served me extremely well over the years as a school leader. And one last thing before we get to the show, I really appreciate when folks rate and review the podcast. It helps it stay relevant and gives a little boost as well in iTunes so that people can find it. And, you know, this podcast is made for you, the school leader. I really want to help school leaders reach their potential to maximize their leadership gifts. And so with more ratings and reviews, we can get this out and share the message to a lot more people. So I will read some reviews to you. And here's a review from Gretchen. And she says, I am so excited to find this podcast. Leaders are in need of advice and professional development, just like the teachers they serve. What practical tips shared by a knowledgeable host? Thank you for giving back to the profession in a big way, Daniel. And Gretchen, I just want to thank you so much for taking time and giving a 5-star rate and review. And one more rating and review real quick by JoshCo0752. I'm so pleased to have found this podcast. Education needs an upgrade, and having people out there talking about what a better school would look like is something that's really important. Thanks for taking this topic on. And JoshCo0752, I want to thank you for taking time to write that rating and review. So now for the show.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer. And now for our Bauer trivia question. Daniel still has his tonsils. Stay tuned. The answer will be revealed following today's amazing podcast.
Hello, this is Daniel Bauer from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I am honored and thrilled that you are listening today. Today's guest is Matt Miller. Matt Miller spent the first 9 years of his career as an Air Force pilot before entering the corporate world to work at both Abbott Labs and Velasys. While a top performer for both companies, his long-term desire was to start a business and be his own boss. A good friend one day mentioned the gumball machines he and his young daughters owned, and that conversation began a 10-year business quest that has brought Matt's company, School Spirit Vending, to the cutting edge of both the vending and school fundraising industries. Today, School Spirit's vending hassle-free fundraising program is helping schools in 23 states raise money in its own unique way. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Matt Miller.
Hey, Daniel. Good to be here. I'm waiting for the applause, man. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, I want to add those so bad, but I want people to take us seriously too. So everybody imagine. That's great. So thanks again, Matt, you know, for, you know, accepting to be on the show. I'm really thrilled to be here. You know, and one thing I want to start even saying before we hop into the questions, prior to us starting this interview, folks, we had quite a bit of technical difficulties. And what's racing through my mind at that time is like, what is wrong with me? You know, what? Why does this always happen? Man, this interview is going to be terrible now. And all of a sudden, it was so fast that my mind went negative. And I was wondering, Matt, just in your experience as a leader, how do you quiet that voice, that imposter, when things seem to be challenging, right? And things might not be going your way. What is it that you do to get through those moments?
You know, the biggest thing I do, Daniel, is just remind myself that I'm not a function of the circumstance that I'm in at the time. And, you know, I've been blessed to have an opportunity to do a lot of pretty cool things in my life. You know, grew up there in the Chicago area, real near to you, and all that. And so regardless of the circumstances, I've just learned over the years that I'm better than them and not to get all caught up in them. And there's probably a reason why I'm having to go through those circumstances. So I'm going to do the best I can to work through them and look for the learning from it. You know, I went to school at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs for college and had the beautiful mountains right out there outside my window there in Colorado. And if you look at the peak of a mountain, there's nothing growing on it. Yeah. Everything that's growing is growing in the valleys. And wow. So these circumstances I look at as just valleys in my life, valleys that for whatever reason God has tasked me to go through. And my job is to learn everything I possibly can from them and come out the other side better than what I was. And that's where I do the majority of my learning. You know, when we're on top of the world, like that mountaintop, there ain't any growth happening. We all start thinking more highly of ourselves than we really should be. And we stop listening and stop learning at that point.
You know, you brought up God as well. I was wondering if there's anything you feel comfortable sharing about your faith. Is there some type of a verse or, you know, just insight that you have about your faith that helps you get through those times as well? Because you said, you know, that you're able just to shut off that voice to know that you're not a function of that. And the other key insight that you shared there, too, is that, you know, some of the greatest growth happens in those valleys, too, on your way up to that peak. But I was wondering, is there some connection there with your faith?
You know, I just know that God's ultimately in control. I'm a Christian. you know, there's those that are listening that don't believe the way I believe, but I know God's ultimately in control. So, it's my job to do the best I can to live the life that He's given me, in service to Him and in shining His light everywhere I go. But ultimately, you know, I'm not in the driver's seat. So, you know, I can't take too much credit for all the good, but I also can't take a lot of credit for the bad either. You know, just striving to become better every day in that process.
That's so powerful that you're not in the driver's seat. And, you know, I think that having a faith helps you develop that perspective. But, you know, even if people that are listening, you know, have a different faith or they're searching, you know, for something or have different style of beliefs, just that idea of not being in the driver's seat is so powerful. Today, I went to this event called the Global Leadership Summit. Absolutely amazing. And I heard this guy teach from Nigeria, and his topic was about crushing the power chasm. And the whole idea there is that when leaders really just think that they're superior, that, you know, their stuff doesn't stink, that they are in the driver's seat, that's when organizations stall and even grow stagnant or, you know, grow backwards and regress. So they have that type of healthy perspective. It's just really awesome to hear.
Bill Hybels is amazing. I actually attended that the last 2 years remotely. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be a part of it the last couple of days. Were you there actually live?
Yeah. So now that you're asking too, you know, all listeners, you know, the family, Better Leaders, Better Schools family, the Global Leadership Summit is a place, it is put on by a church, but they say this is a place where pastors can humble themselves and learn from leaders in business and vice versa. Business leaders can humble themselves and learn from pastors. But the thing that Bill Hybels is so passionate about, and I love this tagline, everybody wins when a leader gets better. And so this conference is always the first week in August, Thursday and Friday. You can Google Global Leadership Summit, and they'll be selling tickets, you know, whenever you're listening to this live on the podcast. Just search Global Leadership Summit in Google, and you'll get all set. That is the top-notch conference for leadership. I've gone for 6 years, and I haven't missed. I planned my whole summer around it. So, yeah, absolutely powerful, impactful learnings there. But, you know, enough about leadership conference and my experience at that. Can you talk about, you know, your company, School Spirit Vending and School News Guru, and how'd you get into that? And why'd you want to do those type of companies and help impact education in that way?
You know, it's kind of funny. I got out of the military after being a pilot for 9 years. Got started in the corporate world and started doing my thing. And I learned real quickly that, once again, I'm not in control. And as long as I worked for somebody else, decisions that were going to ultimately be made that oftentimes were not in my best interest. And I was a top performer in what I did, but because of situation, most notably with one of my bosses, she decided to significantly increase my quota 1 year because she thought that I had gotten too much recognition the year prior. And in the process, that cost me about 80 grand a year in income. Wow. And we went from doing fairly well after coming out of the military to being in the basement financially overnight. I went from being a hero to a zero there at the company. And I didn't see a way to get out. I enjoyed the job. I enjoyed the freedom of the job. I was very, very good at it. But the reality was the compensation plan, the way it was set up, there was no chance for me anytime soon to work my way out. So I started doing some stuff on the side. I had done some multi-level marketing stuff. I had sold books on Amazon and eBay and Half.com and Libris. I'd done a number of different things, but I had read Robert Kiyosaki's book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Right.
An amazing book. And in that book, he talks about passive income, which is income that does not require your time or time and income are not directly tied with one another. And I believe the book, and I believe the principles that he talked about in the book. So I was looking for a business that I could create, which would enable me to do so. And had a friend at church who talked to me a little bit about his two young daughters, and he had bought some gumball machines. And so I figured, what the heck? Vending would work great. It's something I could do moonlighting and you know, would be making money one quarter at a time while I was working still full time. So I got started in gumballs and candy, transitioned fairly quickly to toys and temporary tattoos and stickers, that time of thing. And after about a year and a half, I was in about 130 locations around Houston where we were living at the time. Was doing great, and then 07 and 08 hit, and less people were going out to eat, less people were frequent in the businesses that I was doing business in. So I was looking for another way to improve revenues. At that time, I had three or four kids in my neighborhood in the span of a couple weeks come knocking on my door, selling me stuff, fundraising for their school. And I was like, you know, this is kind of odd. I know they're in my neighborhood. I've seen them around, but I don't know them. Their parents aren't with them. And I thought it was a little bit odd that these kids were essentially being salespeople to raise money for the school. And so that thought kind of allowed me to see a way to tie vending with school fundraising. And so we started designing custom mascot stickers for schools and setting up vending machines in the schools to vend those stickers. It ended up becoming a passive fundraiser for the school, something that didn't require any volunteers and that type of thing. And it ended up being a more viable business for me as well. I had a couple of buddies of mine who got involved or helped me kind of get started. We ended up going to a PTA event there in Texas. This was 7.5 years ago, after testing the program in one school down south of Houston for a number of months, and had a group of PTA moms, 10 of them total, that just absolutely got excited about our program. And so we took off from there. Today we're a franchise. We work with about 60 different families across the country in the 1,800 or so elementary schools that we're in. And we're serving two purposes. We're passively raising funds for schools, and we're also helping families develop, you know, side incomes and more security as well. We've got a number of former educators and former administrators that are part of our team. You know, we've got veterans. We've got people from just about any walk of life, most of which have been top performers in what they do, leaders in their industry, but they weren't completely satisfied where they were at. And so we teach them our program, and then they're able to utilize our program to help positively impact schools in their area. To give you an idea, we've raised about $3 million in the last 7 years through our program for education, 50 cents at a time. Wow. So it's a pretty good feeling to see what we've done. And to be honest, we're just getting started. So it's an exciting time to be in business. It's an exciting time to be working with schools across the country and showing them innovative ways to raise money so that they can spend more time doing what they've been trained to do, which is being an educator or a mom in support of their child in school, instead of spending all this time raising money just to pay for school supplies or whatever other needs the school has.
Yeah, and I'm sure that most schools are very much like CPS, you know, Chicago Public Schools, definitely in a lot of financial trouble, you know, trying to figure out just how to, you know, pay for teacher positions and programs. But hearing that your company generating $3 million in revenue, you know, how much of that is the school seeing, or is that they already took their cut and that $3 million, you know, was that with your company? But can you talk a little bit about the benefit to the school or how you set that up?
Well, first off, that $3 million has all gone to the schools.
Oh, wow.
That's okay. The school's portion that we've raised. As far as how the program works, it's real simple. We have a simple agreement that a school signs, essentially allowing us to set up our machine in their school. Then we custom design a couple of stickers with their mascot and logo and all that. Those stickers end up being one of the selections in the machine. And then we put whatever else the kids are into in the machine as well. You know, NFL is huge for the boys most of the year. So we typically have an NFL sticker series. You know, girls, they love the cute little puppy dogs, or we've got a series called Dress Up Girls, which is kind of like the paper dolls from when we were growing up, except for their stickers, and they can accessorize, you know, the little girls and that type of thing. Everything is kindergarten age appropriate or above. Most of the stuff that we sell, we have actually manufactured specifically for the school environment. Those stickers also come as they're delivered in the machine. They come in a cardboard folder that gives the sticker the rigidity it needs to be pushed out of the mechanical mechanism in the machine. Okay. And the company that we work with that produces our product has a proprietary system that allows us to actually print on that cardboard. So we're doing a lot of neat things with that, with providing additional educational value for the kids. About a year and a half ago, I started a comic book series. I'm not the artist, I'm not the writer, but I found a couple of young guys from Baylor University that are wildly talented and tracked them down and said, "Hey guys, I'd really like to start providing some content to help inspire kids to read. Would you guys create a comic book series for me?" And so they came up with this whole idea of these two apes, Marlon and Percy, and they want to be superheroes. And so Marlon and Percy, their comics are regularly featured on our little cardboard folders in our all across the country. We also have full-length comics. Right now they're in ebook form that can be gotten at our website, marlonandpercy.com. But my goal is to help inspire kids to read with that series, because when I was growing up in a little town called Sycamore, Illinois, which is about 60 miles west of Chicago, I used to take a lot of my allowance and lawn mowing money and go up to the local Ben Franklin store downtown Sycamore and spend the majority of it on comic books. And that's how I got inspired early in my life to read, was reading about Superman and Captain America and the Fantastic Four and all of them. And wow. What I've found in today's society is a lot of that stuff has turned more dark. It has much more adult themes. And whereas my mom and dad didn't have to worry about what I was reading back then, a lot of parents do have to worry today. So our goal is to create a principle-based series that is going to inspire kids to read, and mom and dad don't have to worry about the content.
That's great. You know, prior to taping, family, Matt and I were talking about our affinity for Chicago pizza, Lou Malnati's. We'll give them a little plug. That's free advertising for
heck
them.
Yeah.
It is delicious. And if you're not from Chicago, never had Chicago pizza, you can get that delivered to you on dry ice and it will be delicious. But I'm really starting to think that we might be brothers from a different mother, because my love of reading also was developed through comic books and graphic novels. In fact, my first job in middle school, I started just counting inventory in a comic book shop. And the owner of the comic book shop, Fat Dutchie's Comics in Palatine, Illinois, he would purchase all my comics and buy me lunch every day that I came in. And I was doing him a service in terms of you know, that terrible task of counting the inventory and letting him know what he should purchase for the next month. But that's a pretty cool story. And I love that you're doing that with Marlon and Percy. Let's back up just a second, though, in terms of school spirit vending. I'm sure there's some principals listening right now, or some parents, too, that want to make some moves and generate millions of dollars for their school. But how can they get a hold of you if they want to do that with the stickers or the toys and the services you offer with school spirit vending?
Well, the best way to reach us on the school side is schoolspiritvending.com. That's our school-facing website that gives all the details and the basics of our program and has a contact form there that you can contact us directly. There are a number of states that we're not in yet. And so in that regard, we are looking for folks that have a desire to own a business, who want to own a franchise that is already a proven system where literally one can get started without any business experience and very quickly be up to speed with running a business. And the website, the best way to contact us for that is ssvbusiness.com, standing for School Spirit Vending Business. So ssvbusiness.com. And, you know, we'd love to talk to folks. You know, as an example, we are not currently in Illinois. Would love to be. I've got a lot of friends and what have you that are in that area still, many of which are in the educational space. But since I've been down in Texas, most of our focus has been here in the South so far. So, but would love to talk to folks about what we do and how we do it if they hear about what we're doing and have interest.
That's great. And before we hop over to School News Guru, let me ask you, just dig in a little bit and give some meat to our listeners about leadership. So you're running School Spirit Vending, you're running School News Guru. Thank you for your service in the Air Force. I'm sure you've learned a lot about leadership in all these endeavors. So how would you describe your leadership style and how did you develop this style?
Wow. First off, it's taken me years to be in a position to be given the ability to be a steward, a hopefully worthy steward of the team of business owners that we have and, of course, the schools that we serve. There was a lot of years where I was that typical Air Force pilot. Anybody who's seen the movie Top Gun, that's a Navy movie. But, you know, the typical attitude, the fast lifestyle, all that type of stuff was the way I lived for a lot of years. And it took me years to understand and to learn humility, to learn how to serve people. I'm still have my issues like we all do, but I believe that I'm learning a little bit more every day. You know, with the group of people that we have today, my philosophy is that the speed of the group is determined by the speed of the leader. You know, you talked about Bill Hybels, you know, everybody wins when a leader gets better. Well, it's essentially a similar take, just a little bit different phraseology. My business and my team can only grow as big as I'm able to grow and the example that I set. So I have a regular goal to make sure that I'm getting myself around people that I can learn from. I've got a goal as often as possible to be the dumbest guy in the room instead of the smartest guy in the room. You know, it's the books that you read and the people that you associate with that are going to determine where you are 5 years from now. So I consciously, on a daily basis, am attempting to continue to improve myself and to become better so that I can better serve those that are on our team. You know, I'm a gardener. One of the reasons why I did what I did to be where we are today was so that I could have some freedom to do some things that I love to do. And right now in the middle of the summer, even though it's over 100 degrees today here in Texas, our garden is still producing, you know, big time. But here's the thing. If the garden is not tended to, the natural state of the garden is weeds. Hmm. And in a matter of weeks, the entire garden will be covered with them. Well, the same thing is true with us. And our brain, the natural state of everything is chaos, is weeds in our mind. And if we're not reading, if we're not learning, if we're not associating with people that are a positive influence or that can make us better, we're naturally going to go backwards. You know, another thing, our team has a number of different mantras. One of them is we are green tomatoes. Essentially, a green tomato is growing. A red tomato is dead and is dying. So the whole goal is to continue to be growing, to continue to be learning, to continue to be improving each and every day, one step at a time.
So in terms of, I guess, your team and using that garden metaphor, how do you clear out the weeds? Is there like some sort of daily practice, or is there some, you know, type of approach that you use with your people? that helps you clear out and keep a healthy garden, or what is it that you do?
Well, I regularly attend events. In fact, I try to attend at least one event a quarter where I'm getting myself around people who think differently and can help me think differently along the way. I'm an avid reader and read on a daily basis. As far as our team is concerned, what I try to do is I try to share with them as much as possible what I'm learning. We have a podcast that we actually do internally that is my opportunity to communicate directly with our team on a regular basis. And so my thought process, you know, what I'm reading, what I'm being exposed to, all of those things tend to be subjects of that podcast. It's a weekly deal, so the team is not being, you know, inundated with information. But if I can just share, you know, 15 to 30 minutes a week, or interview somebody who's made an impact on my life in hopes of making an impact on others, you know, it's my prayer that will positively influence the team. Something else I've also done is I've been part of a mastermind group.
So Skype went out for a second. We lost Matt, but we do get him back, and I'll bring you to that second half of the interview in a second. I just want to pause and thank today's sponsor, which was Audible.com. And if you're like me, busy and on the go, sometimes, well, obviously it's hard to read. So that's why I like Audible. You know, you download an MP3 of the book, and you can have it there right on your iPhone. They have it for Android, Kindle, and MP3 players too. You can get your free trial at audibletrial.com/better. That's www.audibletrial.com/better. And get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial. And now back to the second half of the interview. But I hit record. I was still laughing. You know, technology is not our friends, folks. But here's the best part. So the call just got dropped, family. And this is the best part. As Matt said, we're not a function of this. So, you know, I'm not generating my meaning about how my life is about how well our technology is working. So we're talking about masterminds. Those are really cool. So, yeah, can you share a little bit more about that and the work you're doing there?
Yeah. So, you know, the whole idea, the whole concept is to get yourself around a group of people. The goal ultimately is over a period of years, and to develop relationships. And to develop a group of folks that, you know, you can bounce ideas off of and can learn from on a regular basis. You know, the group I'm part of, it's called Iron Sharpens Iron. It's led by, like I said, Aaron Walker. And
he used to be on the show in a few episodes.
That's awesome. Aaron's an amazing guy. I met him at a Dave Ramsey event here 18 months ago. I walked away from that event after hanging out with him most of the week and said, you know, I've got to get around that guy. Just the wisdom that he has, the business savvy and the business experience that he has with, you know, 38 years of business. So anyway, I've made a point of, I hired him as a coach, and I've been part of one of his mastermind groups from the very beginning. So several times a week, I'm in front of a group of guys that I'm developing a relationship with. I'm in support of, and they in support of me, from very, very wildly differing backgrounds in different parts of the country. We get on a video conference, and we have the ability to talk and share and talk about failures and successes and bounce ideas off of one another. And that has been huge for me, just because you don't know what you don't know. And there's only so much that any of us are ever exposed to. And the only way to get exposed to new thought process and new things is to get around others that can make you better.
You know, and one of the things that Bill Hybels talked about during the Global Leadership Summit yesterday was that leaders, we have blind spots. And they're blind spots just to us. Everybody else within the organization knows where we can improve. And it's so important to get yourself around people that you've developed trust with, that, you know, they care about you and they can offer support. They can offer great questions. They can give you tough feedback to help accelerate your growth. And I think that's what you're finding in the Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind. And people can find that on viewfromthetop.com, I believe. But another thing, you know, I want to plug just what I'm doing here at Better Leaders, Better Schools. You know, I'm developing this thing. The whole idea is that I'm passionate about leadership. What I try to tell people in 10 seconds or less is that I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. And in many ways, you know, Aaron is my online mentor. I want to do that for principals too. So if you're a school leader and you think that sounds like something that interests you, you could go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/mastermind, singular, mastermind, and get more information about that. But I appreciate you sharing that. And one more plug too for the Global Leadership Summit. This year, I took, like every year, I was a former English major, taught English in high school, loved to read, loved to write. So I took copious amounts of notes at this leadership summit, as I do in every summit. Well, the past summits I'm using to populate the blog with just great leadership content for my readers. But this year, too, I'm creating a global leadership report, and that's also available if that's something that's interesting to you. For every speaker, leadership lessons distilled on a one pager, so you can flip through those. And that's betterleadersbetterschools.com/report15, because I will do one for every single year. So that's betterleadersbetterschools.com/report15. So Matt, tell us a little bit about your worst leadership mistake and what did you learn from that?
Wow. I would say my worst leadership mistake, I'm getting better at every day, is just the relationship side of things. As a very strong D, for those of you that are familiar with the DISC assessment process, I'm a get the job done kind of guy, and that's pretty much what my focus is. That's the way I've been wired. And so because of that fact, I'm oftentimes more concerned about just the task at hand and getting that done than I'm concerned about people. Mm. So one of my biggest leadership failures, especially early on, was not paying attention. And quite honestly, that was a blind spot of mine, like you talked about a minute ago. Not paying attention and understanding people, not realizing that everyone's not wired the way I am, so that they may not see the world the way I see it, and working really hard over the last few years to better understand those around me, to get to know them better, and also to understand the way they're wired so that I can better communicate and better serve them in a way that they understand. I don't know if you're familiar with the book. It's called The Five Love Languages.
Yes. My wife is familiar with it.
Well, the same thing in that book applies to leadership, yes, and personality traits. And the reality is that we all have a love tank, which is what is discussed in that book. And when we are being loved in a way that we understand, that tank is full. But when we're being loved in a way that we don't understand, that tank empties very, very quickly. And what my wife and I found early in our marriage, we've been married going on 23 years now, but awesome, what we found early on was the fact that I was trying to love her the way I wanted to be loved, and she was trying to love me the way she wanted to be loved, and we were both completely opposite. So neither of us was responding because we weren't communicating in each other's love language. And the same thing applies for just relationships in general. You know, everybody is wired differently, and it's important to communicate to them in a way that they understand and can relate to, instead of assuming that everybody looks at the world the way that we do, because they don't.
Yeah, Five Love Languages, that's a great book. You know, if you're married and you haven't read it, definitely read it. If you're single and want to, you know, get into a serious relationship, that is a must read. We'll definitely link that into the show notes so you can get yourself a copy. Just curious, you know, do you want to share what your love language is and your wife's?
My wife's is acts of service. Mine is personal touch and words of affirmation. So as an example, you know, if someone were just to come up and just put their hand on my shoulder and keep it there, as silly as that sounds, I feel loved.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally get that.
So anyway, she prefers that I help out around the house and do dishes and do a lot of those other things and help with projects and honeydews and all those types of things that with things that are important to her and her nest here in our house. I'm not that way at all. So I have to strive every day and work every day to remember that I'm doing it for her. And for that reason, I have to communicate in a way that she responds to and understands.
So I heard you say, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your strengths, maybe your top strength, would be that you can execute and see jobs to completion. So I'm curious if distractions are a problem for you or not. Are there any sort of systems that you have set in place to help you avoid those distractions and stay focused?
Yeah, distractions are a big problem for me because I'm a creator developer. Therefore, I see a shiny object everywhere and a business opportunity everywhere. And if I'm not careful, I get spread way too thin. So the best thing that I do to stay on task, once again, is to be around people like Aaron that help keep me accountable for what my goals are and where I'm heading. But then I keep a quarterly list of priorities that are based around my several businesses. And it's just a simple Excel spreadsheet. It's got a date in the left-hand column, and then it's got the task right next to it. And each quarter I sit down and I take a look at what are the things that I really need to accomplish in the next 3 months. I prioritize them. I put dates on them. And then I refer to that spreadsheet on a daily basis as I'm marching towards whatever that goal or those goals are for that quarter. That helps me stay on task, helps me not get too distracted with other things, and helps me make sure I'm spending my time as wisely as I can because I've got a purpose in mind and I've got goals in mind that I'm working towards.
That's great. You know, that idea of just, again, having that community around you to be able to hold you accountable, to set dates. I think Bill Hybels, one of the things that he talks about is a 6x6, where you pick just 6 goals you're going to be working on for 6 weeks and just to create that hyper-focus. But then layer, you know, adding that layer of a mastermind of people that you know are for you, rooting for you in your corner, that have wisdom, have experience, that can challenge you and hold you accountable is just so, so important. So thank you for sharing that. I think, you know, I want to hear a little bit about School News Guru and why should school principals be excited about what you offer with that?
Well, what School News Guru is it is another hassle-free fundraiser. My goal, quite honestly, Daniel, in the next few years is to completely reinvent school fundraising.
That's awesome.
And to get educators and volunteers out of the fundraising business, to get little Johnny and Susie off the street, and to have companies like mine step in to fill that role because that's what we're experts at, and let educators get back to being experts at doing what they do. So anyway, Guru is our second launch into that hassle-free space. Many schools do a newsletter already. What we do is we take the content that they produce, we package it in a professional way. It portrays a solid image of the school and the school's brand to the parents and to the people of the community. And then we match that content up with local area businesses that have a desire to sponsor the school. And in the process, it ends up becoming a communication tool, and it also becomes a fundraising tool for the school as well. Something else that we're also going to actually doing our first test with in the next couple of weeks, you'll get a kick out of this. It's called School News Radio. And what we're going to do is we're going to partner with podcasters around the country and bring them together with principals across the country and provide a monthly radio show for that principal as a means of communicating with their parents and faculty and communities as well. Take the talents that, that the podcast community has and marry it with the needs of the school and create a regular radio show for them as well. So lots of cool stuff being put together. And it's just a matter of finding enough time in the day to execute and bring it all to pass.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, then is it because like the businesses are buying ad space or something on the newsletter that turns into a fundraising mechanism?
Correct. Yeah, the businesses pay for ad space, and the school gets half of that ad revenue. And literally all they're doing is providing content that they were providing anyway. We do all the rest of the work behind the scenes.
So it's free for them to set up. They create the content that they're already doing anyways. You're better at making it look visually appealing and branding it so it comes out packaged much nicer than a school is probably equipped to do. And they're getting income stream as a result, right?
Yes.
That's a win. Exactly. Win. Okay, so we had schoolspiritvending.com so we could sell the stickers and different toys, marlinandpercy.com. Check out the online comic. Where do they go for School News Guru?
Schoolnewsguru.com.
You know, not only do you make fundraising hassle-free, these web addresses are great. Schoolnewsguru.com. Love it. Awesome. So let's move on. Last two questions I have for you. We'll wrap it up here. And I've really enjoyed this time. Again, thank you so much for being on the show. What is a book you would suggest a principal or another school leader should read and why?
You know, a book that I'm in the middle of right now, it's by a guy by the name of Bob Berg. It's called
Adversaries. It's Allies. Let's say it together. Awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, many have heard of or have read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. This takes that book to a whole new level, the whole concept of relationships and a lot of the thought process and psychology behind relationships. And like I said, I'm in the middle of that book right now, not done, but it's been huge for me already just in the first, you know, third of it that I've read. And it's top of mind right now. I know you're reading the same thing, Daniel, so you can relate, but great, great book.
Thank you for that suggestion, and we'll definitely have that in the show notes so people can pick up Five Love Languages and Adversaries into Allies. So last question, you know, I typically ask this school leaders, and you can see why. It's about creating a school from the ground up. The only limitation is your imagination, so resources and that sort of thing are not a problem. And I like asking that question, obviously, to school leaders to see how they would create their school, given that those boundaries. But I think it's really interesting to ask people outside of schools, what would they do? Because bring this back to the blind spots, education kind of is in a rut, and I don't see enough innovation as I would like to see within schools. So I'm so excited to hear throughout the life of this podcast how people will answer that question from outside of a school. So yeah, given that you have no limitations, the only limitation is your imagination, how would you build a school?
Well, I would figure out a way to get away from the assembly line process that education across the world has become. You know, we essentially mirrored the Ford factory model of, you know, last century and have brought it to education. And in the process, we tried to, in many cases, do a one size fits all. And just talked a lot about in this interview, we're all different. We all have different talents. We all have different abilities. We all communicate and we all learn differently. And unfortunately, because in most cases, we are not meeting the kids at their needs as far as their ability to learn, their ability to communicate, oftentimes there's a lot of kids that are kind of left by the wayside just because we're focused on getting folks through. You know, we got X number of
kids that we've got to graduate from this grade this year or whatever. So if in a perfect world, I would completely do away with the existing system and find a way to actually educate kids based on the way they learn and based on what their God-given giftings are. There's too many kids, in my opinion, that are being forced or told that they have to go to college, as an example, where their talents and abilities are somewhere completely different. Mm. They end up spending, you know, hundreds of thousands, in many cases, of dollars going to school to get a degree in something that they'll probably never use. And just because somebody told them that that's really where they needed to spend their time. And instead of figuring out what they're really good at and passionate about and finding a way to help them learn how to make a living doing that. So I would start that at a very early age, similar to some of the countries and other parts of the world that do more in that regard. Because I think people will be happier and more successful in what they do if they've got the ability to learn at their own pace, learn in their own way, and really hone the talents that they've been given.
Yeah, that's powerful. Just the idea of personalizing education to each individual kid, to know and understand each student, what their strengths are, and really just building upon those strengths. Yeah, I wonder, you know, what would happen to our schools if we were able to accomplish that. But Matt,
I don't know. Daniel, I don't know if you're familiar with a guy by the name of John Taylor Gatto. If you're not, you need to pick up a couple of his books. I don't remember the titles off the top of my head, but this guy was the top teacher in the state of New York several years in a row. Top teacher in New York City as well, and he kind of teaches in his books and talks about that type of educational method, and just an incredible, incredible guy. I've learned a lot from him and reading his works over the years.
Well, I appreciate that suggestion. I'm not familiar with his work, but I will definitely check him out and also link that to the show notes so listeners, the family can also, you know, check that out as well. So, Matt, you know, I just want to thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Again, check him out at schoolspiritvending.com, marlinandpercy.com, schoolnewsguru.com. And if you're interested in starting to become a franchisee, you can check out ssvbusiness.com to start the vending part. We need somebody to step up in Illinois. Maybe I'll quit my job and do that and check it out. No, probably not. I do love leading, but it is an interesting venture. But thanks again. Do you have any parting words of advice? And what's the best way people get a hold of you? If it's in addition to the websites or not?
First off, I would just say, you know, make it your passion to continue to learn and to work on self-improvement every single day. Make that a habit in your life. It will serve you well in whatever you decide to do. And then the only other thing is, it's funny, I actually did just launch a podcast today. We had briefly talked about that. It's called schoolzonepodcast.com is the URL. And I would love to have some educators on my show to talk a little bit about the challenges that they have on the fundraising side of things, what some of their pain points are, and that type of thing. And then I'm also doing a lot of interviews of fundraising companies that are in the fundraising space. So my goal is to create a community where educators, volunteers, and these fundraising and resource companies can all come together. We can all do a better job of sharing our pain points and our expertise and simplify that whole process for everybody.
That's great. Thank you, Matt. You know, I just really appreciate you again. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Daniel. It's been great.
All right.
Well, I really enjoyed that show, and I hope you did too. Thanks for listening to episode 5, Better Leaders, Better Schools.com. Please rate and review. iTunes ranks podcasts based on the ratings and reviews. Leave an honest review and we'll start reading those on the podcast. Another thing I want to share is, you know, just check out Matt's products, his ventures, School Spirit Vending and School News Guru. Both of those are .com and the School Zone podcast. You know, he's just trying to make school leaders, parents, students, teachers' lives easier. And what a great way at no cost to the school to start bringing in revenue streams with barely any work at all. So check all those ventures out, please. And finally, I want to just remind you about a free gift that I've created for you called the 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders. You can get that by texting the word phrases to 33444. P-H-R-A-S-E-S, the word phrases to 33444. Immediately in your email inbox will be an MP3, less than 10 minutes, just about the 15 phrases of effective school leaders that have served me so well over the years in my varying leadership positions. I want you to have that. And currently, you know, I know of a principal, Clayton Reedy in Australia. He's using this MP3 with his executive team. And he just typed out all the phrases. He got his executive team around a table and asked them to reflect on each phrase. How often do they use it? Which ones do they disagree with? Why is this phrase important? And then they all shared. What a valuable professional development tool. Text the word phrases to 33444. And I want you to have that for free. And finally, I think a game changer in education is the Education Mastermind. I'm offering that to you. And if you want more information, go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/mastermind. And you can get hooked up, get on the newsletter, or you can hit me up on Twitter @_betterschools. Email me, daniel@betterleadersbetterschools.com. I'd love to start a dialogue to see if a mastermind is right for you. But as Matt said, you know, getting people around you, do life in community, be professional in a community. Don't be an isolated leader. Get those great questions. Get that support. Get the accountability that comes with the mastermind. You owe it to yourself. I know you're invested in your success. So check out those masterminds. I'd love to work with you. Take care and hope to see you again at the same better place, same better time.
Sometimes I forget to record the answer to the trivia question. So if you stay to the end of this lengthy podcast, here's the bonus. The answer is false. I do not have tonsils. When I was, I don't know, maybe like 10, 11, 12 years old, my tonsils were humongous. And literally when I would drink, it would sound like this. And like people, I would go over to friends' houses to eat and whatever. Like parents would think I was pulling their chain and joking around and being a little smart aleck. But that's the sound that my throat made because my tonsils were so big. My doctor told me that my tonsils were the size of golf balls. So I had them removed. I got strep throat like 8-9 times in a row or something in a month. It was terrible. So got the tonsils removed. And the second I woke up from the operation, I threw up all over the nurse. It was embarrassing. I had to change into a new gown. But here's the kicker. Well, I guess not the kicker. Here's the best part of the story. When I went home, my mom gave me so much ice cream and had a video game waiting for me for the Sega video game system. It brought tears of joy to my tiny little tonsilless eyeballs. All right, take care, y'all.